Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up later in the program, Chrisfield, Maryland got some good news recently. We'll find out what that good news is and what it could mean to a town that's still trying to rebound from Superstorm Sandy. And we'll head to Dagsboro, Delaware, to find out why a decision in Hollywood could put a local landmark out of business. But first, we'll head to the eastern shore of Virginia, where over the course of the past 5 months, close to 70 arson fires have been set to various structures throughout Accomack County. Since the first fire was sparked back in November, the region has seen multiple fires per week and sometimes a few a night. This week was no different, as the once elegant Whispering Pines Motel became a smoldering pile of rubble late Tuesday night, and a former restaurant locals once knew as the Hunger Haven was set ablaze on Wednesday night. The person or persons responsible for setting these fires is targeting mostly abandoned structures, though in a few minutes we'll speak with the gentleman whose airplane hangar was set on fire back in January. But first, I sat down with Accomack County Public Safety Director Jeff Terwilliger to talk about the investigation. He told me that the maze of back roads and the more than 600 vacant buildings in the county are making this investigation very tricky.
From a community standpoint, I think it's important to understand, you know, the dynamics of this community. I mean, it's a rural area. It's very large in size. Properties are spread out sporadically throughout the community. So it makes it difficult sometimes to be able to see all the abandoned structures that are there. And as you mentioned earlier, there's several hundred abandoned structures that we have within the county.
Just trying to navigate through this region this afternoon, I got lost several times. I mean, it's a labyrinth of back roads taking you in between these little towns. And, you know, there are something like 600 plus vacant structures for a number of reasons. The vast majority of the 64 or 5 plus fires that have been set over the past 5 months have been focused on these vacant structures. Has there been any pattern?
You know, I think one of the things that's a common thread is that certainly they've been vacant, and you know, certainly that's not something that we want to see, but fortunately it's not an occupied structure at this point. And they're sporadic. If you look throughout the county, I think we've got maps. Virginia Pilot out in Norfolk did a program, and they plotted all the different calls. And as you can see, it spans the entire county. One of the unique trends of that is that all the structures have been within the county. So it hasn't gone over to Accomack, which is our joining, and hasn't, you know, gone up to Maryland. So that makes it unique.
Yeah. I think people that might look at this situation from metropolitan areas may think, oh, it's a reasonably small community. This should be a easily solvable case. It isn't necessarily. It's been very tricky. It's been very taxing on public safety officials like your department, police, fire, EMS, just spreading resources thin on a nightly basis.
First of all, I'll go back to the geography of the county. Certainly makes it difficult. A lot of remote locations. A lot of structures that sit well off the road to make them, you know, potentially easy targets for somebody that wants to do harm. Mm-hmm. From a law enforcement standpoint, certainly we're confident that it's just a matter of time before our law enforcement personnel, headed by the state police, the local sheriff's department, and other local resources that are being brought in, that we're going to find this individual. And the commitment's going to be to hold them accountable and bring them to justice. So we're confident that it's a matter of time before that occurs. From our public safety standpoint, I think the certainly, you know, we're a predominantly volunteer workforce, and I think that we need to understand what the challenges of that. Throughout the county, we've got 14 fire companies. We've got one rescue company. My department supports them with staffing. We're currently, you know, our staff's about 40 career folks that support the volunteers. And these folks are doing a phenomenal job, let me say that. I mean, you got to remember that the majority of these fires occur after, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, sometimes to early morning hours overnight. These volunteers have jobs. They have families. They're out there every day working, and they're out on the fires all night long and then get up the next morning to go to work. So the commitment there from our volunteers has been extraordinary. It is a taxing situation. You know, the individuals are out there a lot, but they've been up to the task, and I'm very proud of them for that.
I get the sense in speaking with people in the community today that there isn't this sense of fear about what could happen this evening when they go to bed. And I don't get that sense of fear, though, in the community. I get a sense of almost anger. People are angry that the history of this community is literally being burned to the ground by malicious fire starters.
Well, I certainly think that unfortunately, anytime you have any type of emergency or tragic incident or escalation of events, it does. It's a sense of anxiety that I see, and not so much fear, but anxiety that, look, we need to get this person, we need to hold them accountable, and we need to return this community to normal. So I think that what it's done is it's brought the community closer. And you'll see that. And there's a lot of folks out there that have their eyes and ears open that are sharing tips with the hotlines that have been established. The commitment here is to find the individual and hold them accountable. And sometimes it takes the eyes and ears of our community to do that.
That was Jeff Terwilliger. He's the director of public safety in Virginia's Accomack County. Now, while the alleged arsonists are targeting mostly abandoned structures, there have been a few that have not been dilapidated or vacated buildings. My next guest was the victim of an arson fire back in January. Al McMath is a lifelong resident of Accomack County, and he joins me on the phone now. Al, welcome to Coastal Connection.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Tell me the story of what happened to your building. I believe it was a plane hangar. I know you're a pilot.
Yeah, well, a little background. I have a small grass strip on a farm that's been a family farm for a couple generations. And my father started flying after World War II, and he built this particular building. He built it as part of on the farm, and I've since inherited it. He passed away in January. This particular case, the building is located near a public road, and the hangar was not abandoned, but it was unoccupied. At the time, I was fortunate; had no aircraft, or sometimes to keep my boat in the hangar as well. But the hangar had vinyl siding, had a new roof, had power going to it, and that particular night, I got a call from my sister who lives down the road, the community down the road, and she said she had heard that there were fire engines heading towards the building that this hangar was on fire, and looked out the window at a little bit after 11 on that Friday night, and sure enough, flames are coming through the roof. I learned later that somebody riding by had seen it and had either gone to the firehouse or called 911, whatever. By the time I saw it, there were three or four fire companies there, and they were starting to put the fire out. The building's still standing, but it's damaged fairly severely because what happened, it burned the corner out, one of the supporting corners, and the roof structure is down on the doors, which means the doors don't open, which makes it fairly unusable. So although it's not on the ground, it's pretty big effort and probably expensive to put it back the way it was. So I have a decision to make.
I was down there yesterday and talking to people in the community, it became very clear that it's not a sense of fear that has been, speculated about in the media over the course of the past 5 months, that the community is afraid of these arson fires or the alleged arsonist. They're more just irritated, and it's become a nightly nuisance of sorts. Talk about the community itself and how they're dealing with all of these fires.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, it's not fear, probably not even paranoia, but I think it's one of those things that's just getting old, and people that do have property are worried. Some people, some farmers have buildings that are used for storage and they don't want the loss. And then, of course, there's a million theories of who it is and how it's happening, but, I don't know any more than anybody else. But, no, I would agree with you. It's not a fear thing. It's just that people are concerned for the property. I think there is some concern that eventually somebody's going to get hurt because these guys are driving this heavy equipment on these back roads, the fires in the middle of the night. It's just a formula for an accident. Somebody pulls out, they roll a truck, whatever happens. Maybe not at the fire itself, but the first responders, the police and the firemen go into these things. It's a lot of heavy things moving very fast, and there's just a chance that, or somebody may be camped out in one of those buildings that the arsonist doesn't know about.
As you look at the body of work of these arson fires in the past 5 months, the one the other night, the Whispering Pines Motel, that seems to be the largest. And it seems that they are getting bigger and the arsonists are getting a bit more bold in their actions. Do you think that there's a heightened sense of, when is this going to stop and what's going to happen to make it stop? And I guess perhaps speak to how law enforcement is handling this.
Yeah, I think, I actually know the sheriff very well, and I actually taught him to fly. And I know personally that they're working day and night for, trying to define this. And of course, in Virginia, it's really a state police function. Arson comes under the mandate of the state police, mm-hmm. although the county is certainly very involved. I know that the sheriff has gotten, help from wherever he could get it from the certainly there's a big state police presence. It has been this past weekend. They were having roadblocks and handing out flyers and asking people just to be observant. Ironically, one of the places they were handing out the flyers was at Whispering Pines Corner. The building was pretty dilapidated, but, it wasn't it was somebody else's property, and it was almost like a taunting thing, but mm-hmm. I don't know that. I mean, that's just me speculating.
What do you think is going to be the tipping point to help law enforcement officials solve these arson fires? Do you think it's going to be someone in the community seeing something? Do you think the arsonist is just going to make a fatal flaw at some point?
In the end, I believe it's just what the authorities are asking is for people to be observant, and somebody needs to see something, and that's going to probably, to me, will be what it is. I will add this, that Accomack is a lot bigger than people think. I served on the school board here for 16 years, and it turns out that our school system is in the top third of the state. We have over 5,000 students. So it is a geographically big county, although it's spread out. Population is roughly 50,000 or so, and on the Eastern Shore. And it's a lot of area for a few people to cover. So I think they answer your question. They need help from the community. The guy may make a mistake. He may get stuck or whatever happens and get caught. But I'm believing that it's going to take observation from the public.
I was sitting at a cafe yesterday, and somebody that was sitting next to me said, you know, I just would like to go a full week without hearing the fire whistle.
Couldn't agree more, yeah. And he talked to these firemen, and of course they're all volunteers. So they're, you know, these firehouses maybe have one or two employees that are generally EMT, for the rescue, the ambulance folks. But the firemen are typically, guys that work all day, and these calls come in at, and it seemed to be later at night. For a long time they were from 6-7 o'clock in the evening to about midnight, and now there've been some that have been, early in the morning. These guys are getting up and going every night, and it's hard on them, hard on the equipment. It costs a lot of money. I mean, they volunteer, so it's a strain on the community in that regard.
We've been speaking with Al McMath. He's a lifelong resident of Accomack County. His airplane hangar was burned by an alleged arsonist back in January. Al, thanks for joining me, and best of luck getting your hangar back up and running.
Appreciate the concern, and hopefully this guy is caught soon.
To learn more about the Accomack County arsonist, click to our website, wamucoast.org. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.